Shaquan and NSK on 102.9. Is on us. NSK and Shaquan, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Yes, and obviously for a while, or for this week actually, I'm going to be riding solo, but trust and believe that partner will be back next week, Monday, all right? The time is exactly 7:52 on Namibia's Heart and Soul, and in case you missed this hour, we're probably just tuning in right now, man, you missed a lot of things that happened on the show. We had a conversation with Utara Motu. She is the Member of Parliament for LPM, and then also we just had a conversation with Elagoshi Tatsala, and now we are going to be having a conversation, as I promised a little bit earlier on, with McKinley Venani, who is the president of PDM, right? We know that as a nation, we are mourning our president. Very unfortunate news, and it's just a heaviness in the air, a lot of questions, a lot of confusion, but it is important that we also touch base with the people that worked with the president, regardless of which side on the camp they sit on, just to really see how they are holding up and how they're taking the news. Good morning, Mr. McKinley. How are you doing today?
Very good. Good morning, Namibia. I obliged to be with you on this very important show.
I was just about to say, actually, thank you for taking my call. I know it's so early in the morning. How is the morning? How are you feeling today, though?
Well, it can be better, but
yeah.
it's a somber moment for our great country. A great loss for the country.
Absolutely. So we completely understand that you sit obviously on, you know, opposite camps with the president and so forth, but I know that there are moments that you have shared with him, because you have also been in the political space for a very long time. Can you maybe just take us back to when the news was broken to you that our president Hage Geingob was no more?
Well, I received a call of probably 1 o'clock Saturday. From reliable sources that briefed me. I was in Zambia and coming to Namibia and in the Zambezi region. So that's how I received the news of his passing.
All right.
But I had an opportunity to speak to the president just as he left off to the United States, where I wished him well on his journey and so forth. And he also said, thank you very much, and deeply appreciate my concerns and so forth. So that's the last time that we really engaged.
But ironically,
probably 11 o'clock Saturday, me sleeping, I just sent a message to the First Lady saying, just hold my brother's hand. The journey shall be long, but it shall be well. And we are holding you in my... And I do not know. An hour later, I hear the president has passed on, you know. Probably we were engaging in telepathy. It's very strange. But I was thinking of him the whole of Saturday. He was doing and so forth. So I was really concerned.
Yeah.
But to answer your question in context, I and President Geingob comes a very long way. I'm sure from all the opposition benches, very few people know him the way I do. A number of reasons. One, President Geingob was a backbencher in Parliament, an ordinary member of Parliament when he was removed from Prime Minister. He became the chief whip of the ruling party. During that time, I was the chief whip of our party. So we were comrades, or rather colleagues, in the whippery of Parliament. And that environment created a camaraderie and friendship that ensued. I met President Geingob one-on-one in his house in Washington, D.C., 2003. That's when he invited me there. The first night, I went with late Speaker Chitendero, myself, and another colleague that I don't remember now. And the following day, he went to his office. And he, of course, he knew who I was, because then I was Secretary General of my party, but he really was interested in the conversation that we had that night. And the following day, he says, oh, can you come over tonight? But please come alone. I want to talk to you about our country and so forth. So this is how our friendship started. His resident, Casa Rosalia, my house, phone calls were irregular. We were both people who love good food, and we used to eat at Gatterman Restaurant in the Zoo Park restaurant during his tenure as a backbencher. We served in the same committee. He was our chairman in the economics committee, myself, Dr. Fair Chelenga were very, very close to him. I personally became a friend. We later, we used to call each other marriage counselor. His other his wife before Monica.
Yeah.
He would call me and talk about his personal problems. I would call him and talk about personal problems. So that's the relationship.
How it started.
And then we have worked together. But the man is an enigma of a man. He's an architect of our constitution. He played a pivotal role in cementing our democratic order. Mm. And this is how he did it. Hage was a man who made friends across enemy lines. Hage wanted every Namibian with potential to be at the forefront. I remember he single-handedly went to the speaker and appointed me to become a representative of Namibia at the World Bank, Forum of Parliamentarians.
Oh, wow.
And he was the person who was supposed to go there, and he said, hey, you know what? I know the potential of Benani. Well, why can't Benani go?
Mm-hmm.
And he ferociously lobbied me through a SWAPO two-third majority for me to become the main representative there. So for him, it was all about the country, the potential, and he had time for everyone. So at a time that he was a backbencher, and I must dare to say that Hage was somehow an outcast in his own party because many people thought his political career would end and that he will never resurface. So friends were very few, even in his own party, and he says it on a number of occasions.
I think we've seen that, yeah.
That's right. And this is the part that people should talk about, the real man Hage. When he was down, when friends were few, when money was not there, this man showed us stoic leadership. That's why I would call a political adversary a tower of strength. Hage, during the time that he did not have a position, he didn't have money, he didn't have friends, that's the time that he rose back and bounced back to the political trajectory that we are speaking of today. And he taught us something. If I and Peya Mushelenga and many other young people of the time did not learn something, then we are just ordinary fools.
Mm.
Hage would walk in a room in an international forum. The man had stature. The man was style. The man was wit. The man had a charisma.
Mm.
And this is the man and the friend I know. When he walked in a room at a UN forum, whether it's an ITU forum, people would ask, who's this man? When you arrived with him at the Pan-African Parliament, people would ask, who is this man?
Yeah.
Because the man was style. The man was aura. The man was charisma. So that is the Hage I know. And that is the Hage I remember. Most of the time when we fight, I will always remind him that, hey, Hage, everybody is running behind you that you are president. It's true. You are a loyal friend. I know you are a loyal friend.
Yes, but
he was a political bully. You see, we should also not speak about the man, only his goodness at his death. Hage had also limitations. He was a political bully as an opponent. I mean, I had the privilege, and perhaps in my memoirs I would record it, that I had the privilege to shadow the man. I was the main opposition leader for his career.
That's right.
And Hage was a bully. You know, when he wants to push a position through, he was a debater, and he knew how to bully you in a corner. So you had to fight. I had the responsibility, the odious responsibility to fight the man back competitively. He was a very competitive politician.
Mm. Now that you mentioned that, what is like maybe the one thing, because we run just a little bit out of time, but what is the one thing that you learned from him that you applied to your political career today, if you can think of one?
Well, I think one thing I've learned from him, during the time that he was technically a non-popular politician, he kept the faith going. And that during that time, I challenged my own president, Kaura. So I also became a political outcast. So I learned something from him, that one can carry value even in your lowest moment.
Mm.
That I shall forever remain indebted to him.
Yeah.
That's why now and then when he meets all these young politicians, he says, you see, Benani today is a shrewd politician. Some of the things he learned from me.
I cannot get... I cannot get over the fact that you actually do sound like him.
Well, I know the man.
You know him.
We come a long way. The other joke that I want to crack for you is that when the politics gets heated up, I'm not your equal. I'm the president of this country. You behave as if you are the president. Then I would say, President Kaingo, I'm the leader of the opposition of Namibia. And I was not born under a tree, so I'm not your equal. Then he would go into deep laughter. So there were moments that we would crack our politics.
Yeah.
There was always maturity. There was reciprocal respect.
But
there was competitive politics. And it was hard times that we used to fight one another on critical matters of our country.
Hage
was a man to remember. Hage was a friend and the leader that we respected, and a worthy opponent, and I shall forever cherish the moments that we shared.
Absolutely.
For a number of years.
I think that's also the one thing that I want to ask you before I let you go now. What is the one thing that you're going to miss the most about your brother?
One thing that I would miss is that during a moment of distress, there would always be that call. If I'm sick or there is death in my family or a problem, my young brother, it shall be well. Our country needs you. Pick the pieces. Let's go. So that is the man that I will miss, because in our moments of distress, after all our disagreements, we had space for each other. And that is moments that I will always reflect on, and I will miss dearly. He was a great guy. One day he invited me for breakfast, and I live to tell this story. He said, come to Kazar Osalia for breakfast. So I rushed. I didn't eat. I told Claudina, no, the Prime Minister. We used to call him Prime Minister. Even he was a backbencher.
Yeah, Prime Minister called me,
And he called me for breakfast, so I'm not eating your food. And my wife makes good food. I walk into his house. The man sits on a big table. I said, okay, morning, Big G. I used to call him Big G. Morning, Big G. Morning.
Big G, okay.
I said to him, oh, please sit down. No, I just want to converse on something at Parliament, you know, at the committee, because he took his work very seriously. So I said, okay, now where's the food? The guy takes porridge from microwave.
And then you left all this good food at home?
I used to tease him every time that we meet. This one. You see, you are president. You are just a porridge eater.
Yeah, so porridge eater.
We call each other, fellow porridge eater. So that breakfast, they said, how do you invite me for breakfast and you invite me for porridge?
For porridge,
You people from Tumeb, you have no protocol, man. So we had many moments of our lives.
But you know what? This is so beautiful, Mr. Venani. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. We know that our president was Big G. Okay, well, we can't call him that because that's your bond. But we know that he was a porridge eater from Tumeb. Thank you.
He was a porridge eater from Tumeb.
Mr. McHenry, thank you so much for your time and have a lovely day. And our condolences to you. I knew for a fact that there was definitely a brotherhood there that we needed to hear about. So thank you so much for your time. All right, then, that is the voice of McHenry Venani. He's the president of PDM. And oh my gosh, as she's speaking, like, I can't even keep these tears from flowing on my cheeks, man. Big G. Mr. President Hage Geingob, man, we miss you and we will celebrate you forever and ever.
Shaquan and NSK on 102.9.